So when we talk about cutting, when we talk about self-injury, cutting is the most traditional, which really is just people cutting cutting their skin to the point of bleeding a lot of times. But self-injury can also look different. Sometimes people burn themselves, or every once in a while I'll run across some literature that would even include like overdosing as a form of self-injury, or doing anything that will inflict a degree of harm. More extremes would be like actually people that break bones then. So it's all kind of along those same lines, but intentionally inflicting harm on yourself. Another form might be people that do extreme tattooing on their bodies. So again, just anything that is somewhat painful and that can take people's mind away from emotional pain that they're experiencing, and it actually puts it into a physical pain. This is very prevalent, I would say, among young adult and teenage girls. It's highly likely to find this in females and fairly unlikely to see this in males. It's also a generational piece. And so once people move more into adulthood, they become less and less likely to use this behavior. And so it really is more seen in the ages preteen, teens to early adult. It's very common to see this as a coping mechanism for people that struggle with trauma, depression, sometimes anxiety. So when we talk about cutting, when we talk about self-injury, it is good to think of it as more of a behavior. It's not necessarily a standalone mental health issue. It is often being able to put physical pain to a lot of pain that they are experiencing. It is harder to quantify or to know what to do with emotional pain at times. And so it's easier to be able to focus in on a physical pain. Another thing that happens, particularly with cutting, is that when you cut yourself, your body naturally will release endorphins. And so you can almost get a high that comes from cutting. The thing with that is you build up tolerance to it over time. And so I work with girls that end up cutting themselves more and more, deeper and deeper, which is where it can start to become concerning. Anyone who's probably in an older age group of our audience is wondering, what in the world? Like, why would anyone do this to themselves? And that is it's a valid question. I think it really does speak to the increased levels of mental health that we are seeing in some of the younger generations. And there's a lot of hypotheses of why that's happening, whether that's deterioration at home or emotional issues, stress, increased pace of life, a number of things that all could be contributing factors, particularly in the last few years, last 10 years or so. I would say this has really increased. And another correlation that a lot of people would make would be with the rise of social media, that this is a way that people are coping with pain of rejection and just not being accepted, something that can be done in secrecy. Again, I think that's another myth, is that everyone who cuts or self-injures wants that to be known. And so sometimes it depends on where a person would harm themselves. A lot of times that might be on a stomach or inside of a person's legs or areas that would not be spotted. I think a lot of times if people are familiar with cutting, they think, people have cuts on their arms and that's what they would think of. But actually, that's not always true. Some people would wear their scars as badges of honor, while others are very ashamed of those. And you can't get rid of them if you have been cutting a lot or for years. Those are going to be deep and those are going to be forever. And so that is really difficult at times to see those. And it can be a temptation, I would say, for people who have been clean for a while. They see their scars and they may be tempted in a weak moment to go back and reopen those and go back into that behavior. So imagine a place where someone maybe does have some abuse in their background and in their past, and that has left lots of feelings of self-hatred, of uncleanness. And so there can be some of those thoughts that continue. And another line of thinking that I hear a lot is just, I'm not worth it. And so what does it matter what happens to me, to my body? Nobody likes me anyway. It can be strangely comforting. Then you think about that individual that's already wrestling with some of that background and some of those thoughts moving into a place like junior high or high school today, where they are bombarded by different messages or and friendships and emotions, hormones. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you do see this behavior start to emerge around puberty when there's a lot of emotions rolling for girls. So there are actually places online that you could just Google how do you cut. There's techniques, there's websites that are very pro self-injury, unfortunately, and you have people that are very ingrained in that behavior that are willing to share their testimonies of how it helps them. Again, I see that with eating disorder behavior too, and so all sorts of unhealthy coping mechanisms that are just a Google search away. So this is the part that is really shocking to people, is just how prevalent it is. And so I would say that pretty much anyone in our audience, like if you know a female between the ages of like 12 and 25, there's a likelihood that one of the girls that you know has engaged in this behavior at some point or other. Because of the high levels of shame that can be attached to it, there is usually a willingness to work through it. The thing that I always am very cautious of when I work with clients is just making sure that they're not exchanging one unhealthy behavior for another, but they truly are developing newer, healthier styles and skills, just because when we mentioned earlier, there can be so many different ways that people self-harm. Mm-hmm. And so they may stop cutting and put away, turn in their razors, so to speak, but then maybe they, find X, Y, and Z that replaces it. So one of the big things that we work on is understanding your emotions and what are you feeling? Why are you feeling it? Learning, okay, what are some other activities that you can engage in, whether that's reaching out to someone to talk through something with, whether that is doing something pretty engaging. And so that may be like a puzzle, or that may be going outside. And so there can be a million options. Again, there's such high shame that can be attached to it, and there's such a lack of understanding that can be attached to it, that there can be a fear from girls, like, if I tell my parents that, they're going to fly off the handle, or they're going to think I'm trying to kill myself, or they're going to, you know, whatever it may be, they're going to guard my every move, you know, and so sometimes the conversation can't even really get opened up to be discussed because there is like such a fear around this. Being able to be calm, being able to be a listener and to try to understand like what all is going on, because it is not just about the cuts. Mm-hmm. Like there is something deeper that is contributing. And so I think that is the thing, because we can work on changing the behavior, and certainly I do when I counsel with girls. But at the end of the day, they need a deeper healing than just being able to turn in their razors and not ever cut themselves again. So there are ways to be supportive without coming across like you endorse high-risk behaviors that teenagers are exposed to, mm-hmm. whether that is the self-injury, whether that is sexual activity, whether that is disordered eating, all those things are directly impacting your body, which has been created by God, is your temple. To be able to approach it from that spiritual lens can be very helpful to present just the bigger picture, so it doesn't feel so disconnected. Parents, you look at your daughters and you think they're the most beautiful creature in the world, but to a 13-year-old who's struggling with negative thinking, they do not see themselves that way. And so they're going to really push against some of that truth at first. just the location where people injure themselves. Again, sometimes that is in places that are not seen. Sometimes that can be in places that are seen. If those are a little bit more visible, that might be an indicator that the person really does want help and that they're doing this as a way to cry out for that. Again, if someone is really deeply involved in this, they probably don't put their cuts on those areas that would be noticed. Or they do a decent job of hiding those things. Non-suicidal self-injury is the official name for what we're talking about. In desperation, people do things that, when you're not in that spot, don't make any sense. But in that moment, they make perfect sense, and they feel like the only way, you know, to get the attention or to get a need met that feels impossible to meet. And I think that is what is so amazing about the gospel, is that in those most desperate times, Christ can step in and save us from ourselves.